Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. God's Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, and you can just wrap your arms around the messages sometimes, and you know that God has intervened. And I was listening to the first message there as Mr. Boykin went through some of the comments, which I will repeat in my message as well. But that's the way God's Holy Spirit works. And as human beings, God has us to repeat things over and over again and again. Why? Why does He want us to do this? God knew we would have a tendency to forget. God made this very plain in the fourth commandment when He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." He knew that mankind along the way in the path of life, that He would relax, man would relax, and He would forget. So God put a reminder, the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Feast of Unleavened Bread signifies far more than the eating of unleavened bread, of putting leavening out. Our focus needs to be on God's management of the process. As you and I know, the Israelites did not come out of Egypt on their own. It was by the power of Almighty God to deliver them. And as we are released from the bondage of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, it is God that is making it possible for us to be delivered. We have an obligation to feast on this unleavened bread throughout our entire life, brother. It's not a 1 week thing. It's not the 2 weeks. It's not a month. It is for eternity on the lifespan that we have here on this earth. We have this obligation. Brethren, unless we eat the bread of life continually, and unless God's Spirit resides in us, we will die. Unless we are metaphorically attached to the vine, we cannot bear fruit. Unless we have God's Spirit, we will never completely control our human spirit. The sermon title today, for this afternoon, is Remaining Unleavened. So my purpose is to explain to you the roadmap that we must follow in remaining unleavened. And we will do this by using the 18th alphabet of the English language, which is the R. So I will use the R to make 4 points on how we will remain unleavened. During this season, we concentrated on putting sin out of our lives. And we did the best we could by cleaning our homes to ensure they were leaven-free. Because we understand that physical leavening symbolizes sin. And yet we understood how difficult it was. For us finding the leveling in places that we did not expect. But once we found the leaven, we were quick to put it out. And so it should be with the sin that is found in our lives. Remaining unleavening requires the use of our first R, which is repentance. We know that only God can grant us repentance for sin. Please turn over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. We'll read verses 21 and 22. And I will be reading some scriptures from the NIV as well as the New King James. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take control together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So the first step to repentance is humility. The first step to repentance is humility. Please turn to Micah. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Verse 8. Micah chapter 6. Verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This verse speaks to the underlying attitudes that one must have when seeking repentance. God seeks certain characteristics of true repentance, which must consist of humility. Because of the human nature that we all have and the constant pull of Satan, it's not easy to acquire all of these characteristics. But God says this must be a part of our repentance. So I want to give you 8 characteristics of a humble person. And I hope that if we don't have these characteristics, that we will strive to get those. The first one is, a humble person is teachable. Humility believes it can always learn from the education and experience of others. A humble person is a spiritual growing person. Number 2, a humble person is at peace with themselves and others. Humility embraces contentment. Number 3, a humble person is grateful because they realize that they don't deserve anything but is thankful for the blessings received in life. Number four, a humble person is slow to be offended and quick to forgive. Humility is keenly mindful of the grace it has received and is quick to extend that forgiveness to others. Number five, a humble person will ask for help. Humility helps us to know who we are and who we are not. Humility seeks support as the opportunity to develop and not as a sign of weakness. Number six, a humble person treats everyone with respect. Humility teaches us that all people have value and deserve to be treated with respect. Number seven, a humble person is patient and doesn't easily get frustrated with the imperfectness of others. Humility knows that mistakes and inadequacies are part of life. The last one, number eight. A humble person recognizes their own limitation. Humility has an accurate view of self that will lead us to true repentance. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will hear us when we come before him in a state of humility. Second, Chronicles chapter 34. Second Chronicles chapter 34. Verse 27. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants. And you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. This was a situation where the king at this time, he was the ruler, knowing that God was not pleased with the surroundings of that nation at that time, but he humbled himself before God. God heard his prayer. Sometimes we find it easy to return to the old sinful habits and erroneous ways of thinking. God commands us, brethren, to keep the days of unleavened bread yearly. Remind us to fight free the bondage of Satan and the world that is around us. that is plunging in sin. And as was said before in the first message, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. God has made plans for us to do that. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Read verses 19 through 20. Exodus chapter 12. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. In verse 20, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. You shall eat unleavened bread. So we see the seriousness of what God is saying here in these verses. Knowing leaven represents sins, and if we continue to be involved with the things of this world, we will be cut off from God. This is the message that comes from this verse. God gives us a warning through the scriptures. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17 through 18. Apostle Paul was inspired to write this. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God says, come out. Don't compromise with the sinful values and practices of this world. So to remain unleavened, we must go to point number two. Point number two, using the 18th alphabet, removing the things that don't belong. This is what God is asking us to do, brethren, during these days of unleavened bread and beyond, to remove the things out of our lives and our practices and our attitudes that don't belong. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God, in his wisdom and mercy, understands just how hard and difficult it is to overcome and to put sin out of our lives. Most of the ladies here today, if you ask them, They will tell you just how hard it was and what a great chore it was de-leveling their homes. And they did not accomplish this task in one day. I don't know how long they spent doing it. Some ladies spent as much as a week, some 2 days. It depends on the dwellings. But it was hard work. But they accomplished this. And this is what God is wanting us to do, brethren. Put the sin out of our lives. It's not easy. God in His wisdom and mercy, He understands just how hard it is for us to do this. These 7 days of unleavened bread represent a period of judgment when we are required by God to put the sin out of our lives. And I hope this is what we have been doing as we focus on the true meaning of these days. To remove the things that don't belong and to put sin out of our lives, it requires a change. And all these ladies will tell you that it made a difference in the change that they were making to put the leavening out. It wasn't a casual day. They had to make a change. To remove the things that don't belong, to put sin out, requires action. It requires a change. And all of these ladies about the leavening will give you the answer. They have the answer. At the end of these 7 days, brethren, God wants us to emerge differently than we ever had before. Come out. Make a change. He wants to see a change in all of us. Ephesians chapter 4. Please turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, begin reading in verse 17 from the NIV translation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I'll tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles in their fertility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost the sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity which continually lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's drop down to verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only with the helpful for building others according to their deeds, their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness rains and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to everyone, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Brethren, God wants us to emerge from these 7 days a new person. Apostle Paul tells us that removing the things that don't belong involved a change in our life, a complete change of the heart, keeping a spiritual attitude, desiring more of God's truth, seeking God's way of life. 1 John chapter 2. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2 from the NIV translation. We'll read verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. Verse 4, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So the letter in chapter 1 and the letter in chapter 2 were written to the churches in the area at that time to encourage the brethren and show them the difference between light and darkness, between truth and error, to encourage the church to grow in genuine love for God and for one another. God hates sin. God will not condone sin. But God, in his mercy and the love that he has for all of us, gives us the opportunity to repent. Paraphrasing John chapter 2 and verse 1, what he is telling us here in these verses, that Jesus Christ loves us so deeply that he will go before the Father and to beg before the Father for our mistakes, things that we do. Because God knows that we have weaknesses and we're going to make mistakes. This is wonderful to know that God is there to listen to the Son when he pleads on our behalf. Colossians chapter 3, please turn there. Verse 5 through 10, Colossians 3, verse 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways and the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these that we mention here. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practice. Verse 10, have put on the new life, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. To remove unleavened bread, we must pray to God for help. And remaining unleavened brings us to a third point. Using the R, God wants us to remember. First message that was mentioned at all as well. Remember. But why? We touched on that as well. Throughout the Bible, we are reminding the importance of remembering what God has done for us and what God is doing for us. In Exodus chapter 20, you don't have to turn there in verse 8. Covered that, said, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Sabbath day is important to God. He wants us to remember. In Mark chapter 2, verse 28 reads, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he kept the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a time of worship before our great Creator God. A time to be taught, time to receive instructions, time to meditate on God's way of life. There are many blessings for those who keep the Sabbath. Turn to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. Verse 2. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. In the kingdom of God, the Sabbath will be kept. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. This is a strict statement. And there will be consequences for those who fail to keep this day, God's Sabbath. God wants us to remember him and all the things he has done and are doing for us now. God wants us to remember and to look forward to the annual Passover Memorial Day that commemorates the death of Jesus Christ. who was and is the first Son of God, the Father. Through Jesus Christ, awful death, in AD 31, God freed us from our captivity and slavery in the world to which Satan is in control at this time. God wants us to remember his holy days that pictures his plan of salvation for all mankind. And God sends a message to the young people as well. Let's notice Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Message to the young people. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the days draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. King Solomon exhorts the young people to remember God in their days of youth, before they reach the old age, overtake their life. Another thing God wants us to remember is to remember to pray. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These are just a few of the things that God wants us to remember. There are many, many more things God wants us to keep in mind. But to remain unleavened, we must use our fourth point. Alphabetical R. Fourth point, reading God's Word. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was able to resist Satan's temptation because he not only knew the scriptures, but he obeyed them as well. Life is much more than food and pleasure in this world. The scriptures should become our lifeline. A close relationship with God. Just as our bodies need food to survive, God's word nourishes us so we can become spiritually mature as we remove the things in our lives that don't belong. This gives us the opportunity when sin challenges us, we have the answer. But you know, my heart goes out to the young people today. All of the things that they have to face and the challenges they have to put up in this life. But you know, God has the answers for you. And when your little friends try to entice you to do things that are wrong, you will be able to say no. A lot of our young people can't say no, but you can. And God has the answer for you. And we find that in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 11. And we have this because we are reading God's Word. Psalm 119 in verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So you have the information, young people, in your heart to say no, because you have the understanding that you have received from reading God's Word. Studying God's Word strengthens you to say no to the sins of this life. More of these scriptures that you store in your heart, you will be strengthened to the core of your being all your life. And just a few verses over there is an outline that you may want to consider. And I'll read this from the New Living Translation. Psalm 119, verse 33 through 35, is a prayer. In other words, that you can pray to God. And it says, teach me, O Lord, to follow every one of your principles. Give me understanding that I will obey your law. I will put it into practice with all my heart. Verse 35, make me to walk along the path of your command, that is where my happiness is found. A lot of the young people have lost happiness because they did not say no. Here is the answer for them. God's word corrects us when we are going the wrong way. God's word cuts through the distractions and the cloudiness in our thinkings and emotions, so we can know God and understand his directions for us. We should never have no doubts about God's scripture. Notice what Paul said to young Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just for the final scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All, not part, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we conclude, brethren, God is looking for us to make a great spiritual change. As we emerge from these days of unleavened bread, let's come out a new person. We have the tools. I gave you the tools to make this rewarding change. The first was repentance. The second was removing the things that don't belong. The third was remembering. And number four was reading God's Word. If you take these four and apply them, brethren, you will make the change. You will come out in under this period of time, a new person, a changed person, a person that God will be pleased. So we hope that this has been some instructions that we all will follow. You and I. I need to make changes too. I'm not perfect. I need to make changes. God's Word shows me the things that I need to do. It's up to the individual to come out under these 7 days of unleavened bread, a changed person. Let's not disappoint God. Don't disappoint God. He is waiting for us to make change.